Okay, you're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program. We're going to continue. We're in Gospel of Matthew chapter 25 at verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, unto another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several abilities, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that received the 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou hast delivered to me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strewed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, thou hast that is thine. Here's your talent. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strewed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I would have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it to him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye that unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. We see that repeated a lot. Do you think our Messiah was lying? Or he was just trying to fool the people into doing good, knowing all along that there's no such thing as punishment and hell? I got an email a week or so ago from a good friend of mine, after he'd got some links to this doctrine, you know, the no hell, no punishment doctrine, that everyone gets to go to heaven, or they have the doctrine of annihilationism, that all the people that aren't gonna go to heaven when they die, alright, they're gonna be annihilated, and they're not gonna know anything at all. Now, that would be a reward for those that practice evil, to be annihilated. That's not a punishment for sin. But Yahshua, he keeps referring to this weeping and gnashing of teeth. Yes, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Sounds like people in pain and suffering to me. What do you think? But the parable, what does it mean? How can you take even that which he has from them who has not? Of course, the reference to them who have, to them will be given more. Okay, to them who have something that they produced with what our Heavenly Father has given them. They're the ones who have, and those who have not are the ones who have not produced with the talents and the resources that the Heavenly Father has given them. From them shall be taken that which he gave them, and he'll give it to others, and they'll be cast into outer darkness. Now, our Heavenly Father, he is so kind. The most wicked of men have plenty, and some of them have way more than others. And I talk about this often, that all good things come from our Heavenly Father. That's his gift to us. Some get more, and some get less. Some have more talent. Some more have more capacity to use their brain. Some have more intelligence, and some have less. But our Heavenly Father expects us to use what he has given us to build his kingdom, to add to his kingdom. That's the whole idea. He gave them what was his. He gives us gifts. They're good. All good things come from God, and even the most evil men enjoy good things. They can enjoy their family. They can have joyous times with their children. They can enjoy the things that money can buy. They can even enjoy doing evil, because the enjoyment is a good thing. Pleasure is a gift from God. Even if we engage to enjoy that pleasure in the wrong way, the pleasure, the good, the things that we feel that are good, the things that taste good, the things like, you know, having intimate relationships with a woman that is your wife and it's perfectly lawful, beautiful and good and pleasurable thing. But the evil man, the adulterer, he can enjoy that same wonderful pleasure. So the pleasure is good, but the adultery is sinful. So good things are enjoyed even by the evil men. And when they stand before the judge, or in this case, the Lord, in the parable, and he says, well, I gave you a life, and I gave you a lot of good things and talents. What have you given me? What have you done with them? And they're going to say, I haven't gained anything for your kingdom. All I have is what you gave me. I produce nothing for your kingdom. And he's going to say, take from him every good thing, and every good thing will be removed from your life. That's called hell. And what are you going to be left with when every good thing is removed from your life? You wicked men, you wicked women out there who won't serve, who won't reverence our Heavenly Father, you say to yourselves, I'm a good man. You say to yourself, I'm a good person. But you don't acknowledge that all the good that you are is a gift from him. You take it to yourself and you call it your own righteousness. And you say, God won't let me go to hell because I am good. I'm a good man. I'm a good person. And then you start comparing yourself with people who are obviously wicked in the world. You say, I'm not like them. Because that's how you measure yourself being good. But what you don't realize, you don't acknowledge, is that all the good in your life, all the good that you are, is a gift from our Creator. Because you didn't produce it out of yourself. You did not make yourself. And you're going to stand before Him. And you're going to say to Him, I was a good man. And He's going to say, yeah, I know. I gave you all those good gifts. What you're going to be saying is, all I have is what you gave me. I produced nothing for your kingdom. And here's your end. This is what he's going to say. You should have done something. You should have at least taken some of that talent and given it to people that would produce something. You could have given to the poor. You could have given to ministries that would do the work for you. Because there are plenty of people. They work hard. Good, godly men who reverence the Heavenly Father. They don't have time to go into ministry and preach the word and do street witnessing and stuff like that. But they take a part of their substance. They take a part of the labor of their life and they give it to missionaries. And they give it to ministries that are doing the work. That's like putting it out to usury. At least they can produce something, they think. At least I can serve God through these other people. But you wicked ones, you're going to stand before God and you're going to go, well, you should let me into heaven because I was a good man. I was a good woman. I wasn't as bad as Jeffrey Dahmer or Osama bin Laden. They were really evil, Heavenly Father. Not good enough. Because you're only giving back to him what he gave to you. You're not adding anything to his kingdom with all of the talent and all of the opportunity and all the good things that he gave you in your life. And he's going to take from you what you have. He says, let's see, in verse 28, take therefore the talent from him and give it to unto them which hath 10 talents. Give it unto him which produces much for what he receives. For everyone that hath shall be given. So everyone that produces something for his kingdom shall be given. But he who produces nothing and only returns with what God gave him, even that which he has will be taken away. Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that's the parable of the stewards. There we go. Unprofitable servants. And when the Son of Man shall come into his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Chapter 25, verse 31. And before him shall be gathered all nations. And there it means all of the different ethnic groups of people on the earth. Before him shall be gathered all nations. A lot of people like to equate the word nations with governments, because most people, when they hear the word nation today, they think of a government like the United States or Mexico, but that's not what the word means, because, well, that goes into prophecy. This is prophetic, because he's talking about the end times still. This is still an addendum to chapter 25, talking about the end time and his coming. Before him shall be gathered all ethnos, and he shall separate them from one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left hand. And when, here we go. You know, have our Pledge of Allegiance. You know, we talk about his holy nation. We talk about the kingdom of heaven, how it's over all the earth. It goes beyond the borders, because the earth is Yahuwah's, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and everyone that dwells therein. So the goats and the sheep are his over all the earth. And when he comes into his glory, he's going to gather all the nations. He's going to separate the sheep from the goats, out of all nations, all ethnos. Put the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left hand. Then shall the king, who is this king? Isn't he the King of Kings? Isn't he the king of the kingdom of heaven? Didn't our heavenly Father, our Creator, make Yahshua the king? Yes. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You know, I object. People do it so easily. It's like romance. The idolatry of romance has been so bombarded into our psyche that it's almost repulsive to think of romance as idolatry until we say embrace agape. Because anything good in romance is really agape. Romance is a counterfeit that wears a thin veil of agape to make itself look good, you know, to hide what it really is. So embrace agape and throw off the idolatry of romance, because agape is obedience. Remember what Yahshua said. He said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. So agape is keeping his commandments. If you agape your wife, you keep his commandments. And his commandments say, love your wife. And wives, you want to agape your husband? Well, honor him. Do what the scripture says. There you go. So my dispute with the terminology of romance as opposed to agape or God's love or charity as it's translated in the King James Version, so too I have a beef with the using the word kids to reference our children. It has become so dominant in our society that it's hard for people to say child or children anymore. They have to be kids. Well, kids are baby goats. Why don't we call them lambs? Why? I think there's a design here. I think the enemy has creeped in here and has changed our language. It's one of his favorite tricks is to change the language, because through the change of language, through the pollution of the language, you get to change the laws. You get to change people's minds. You know, I mean, look at like the word gay. Saw a woman on TV the other day. Her name was Gay. You know, she looked like she was about my age. You know, back in the day when gay was okay. You could name your girl Gay, and it was perfectly fine. But here it is, you know, 50 years later, and wow, nobody's going to name their child Gay unless they're homosexuals today. That's right. See? Changing the language. And it's like now they're going to redefine marriage. Marriage is no longer, you know, a covenant between a man and a woman. It's no longer that sacred institution that our Heavenly Father created when he created man on the sixth day. No, because he created marriage. We blaspheme. Well, I'm not going to say we blaspheme, but these people, they blaspheme the creator of the universe when they redefine marriage as being, oh, it's okay between a woman and a woman, or now it's okay between a man and a man. That's blasphemy. Let's say that's calling the creator, you know, that's calling him out. That's idolatry. It's changing his law. It is. It's changing his law. You're making a proclamation right there that you're in another kingdom. You worship another God. You have another lawgiver. And it's not the creator of the universe. It's not the King of Kings. It's not the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. It's not. So we have this subtle change of now we call our children kids. And, well, I don't call my child a kid. If I call her anything beside a child or my daughter or by her name, I'm going to call her a little lamb. Because when my Heavenly Father, when the King of Kings separates the sheep from the goats, guess which side I want my children on? It's going to be bah, not meh. There is a difference. He knows the difference. So when he separates the sheep from the goats, I want all mine to be on the side where the sheep are, because they follow the great shepherd whithersoever he goeth, you know. Not like them goats. Although it would be better if some people were goats rather than what they are. Okay, so he puts the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, the sheep, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You know, and I just have to stop here. And I have a lot of people are opposed to me because they go, well, that's not important. It's not important. Words are not important. It doesn't matter if we use the name of the Creator. It doesn't matter whether we call our children sheep or goats. Well, yes, it does matter. You know, this, but you neglect the important things like, you know, feeding the poor and all that, which Yahshua moves on to. But, you know, it's like Moses, like Yahshua said to the scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites, he said, yeah, you know, you neglect, you do the little things, but you shouldn't neglect those things, but you ignore the big things. He says, therefore, do the big things, but don't neglect the little things either. Because the neglect of the little things, it continues to spread. It's like leaven. It grows. And it's grown in our society to where so much leaven has come in, so much pollution of idols, so many words redefined. Can't you see what it does to society? It is important that we purify our language. When a preacher preaches a message like what I'm preaching right now, and I bring up a little thing like sheep and goats, think about it. Don't just reject it outright. Don't just say, oh, it's not important, because it's uncomfortable for you to say child instead of kid. Well, get over your discomfort. It gets easier after a while. It's hard for me now to call a child a kid. I don't want to do it. I'm not going to curse anyone else's child by calling them a kid either. Because to me, that's a curse. According to this, the word of our Messiah here, to be a kid is a curse. So it is important. The little things, we shouldn't neglect the little things, because they are like leaven, and they will spread. Because if this little thing isn't important, and then we have 1,000 little things that are important. And then once we have 1,000 little things that aren't important, well, you know, maybe this big thing isn't very important either. And it just spreads like leaven. We allow pollution to come in, and before we know it, we're totally polluted. You see it out there? Didn't it happen? The corporate church, isn't it totally polluted? But Yahshua goes on. The king will say unto them on my right hand, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, these are the sheep, saying, Lord, when saw we you, when did we see you hungry and fed you, or thirsty and gave you drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it to unto one of these, the least of my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then he shall say unto them on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed goats, to everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. And we'll pick up here when we return.